What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
It's another hopefully not depressing episode of What the Fuck, because we tend to have... We get depressing sometimes, don't we, Jillian?
We get depressing. I think we get depressed off of some of the segments. I'm just like, no, I'm not doing that one this week. Starting to become a mini Josh. I'm just like, rah, 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 everything sucks, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but you're a much more attractive Josh.
True. The dumbest thing is actually the darkest point of the show. And we actually have a topic where Josh and I disagree for once versus all of the bullshit that's just blatantly wrong.
Well, let's just get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You know that Islamic people and people of the Muslim faith don't have anything to do with their word swine. So that they won't eat bacon or pork or any kind of pig product. Right. They won't have anything to do with pigs. They even consider it an offense against their religion to have a pig in their presence. Hey, that's their religion. Fair enough. In Spokane, Washington, an Idaho gun group is still a little bit mad at the Islamic Center that's opening near Ground Zero. You know, that's been a story for a couple of years now. They are now making, and I hope I pronounced this right, Jiwag ammunition, which is, quote, a defensive deterrent to those who violently act in the name of Islam. Basically what it is, they have made bullets that are coated in pork-infused paint, which the company states will make the ammo unclean and will therefore keep a Muslim who shot with one of the bullets from entering paradise. Do we even need to go into why this is dumbest thing?
Yeah.
This is pretty fucking stupid. I mean, it's not enough that you just... Maybe we'll be shooting them. Well, first of all, that's dumb in and of itself. But
did they say, like, if they're acting violent? Like, are they referring, not that I'm defending it, I'm just curious on their MO here. Are they talking about people that are actually acting violent, boom, boom, we're going to stop you? Or just, you're a Muslim, I'm going to shoot your ass? Like,
the company's website has this, the campaign for this is called Peace Through Pork. And I'm quoting here. It is a peaceful and natural deterrent to radical Islam. Let's put ham in Mohammed. Mohammed, as they have it written. Give him a spanking with some bacon.
You know what? I really like bacon, so I'm going to get like bacon paint and paint my house. And then bacon will always be with me.
It'll protect you from radical. I'm sorry I'm laughing at this because it's kind of offensive, but it's also so dumb.
It is.
Isn't it? This is so fucking stupid.
Well, and didn't you say, like, not all Muslims follow that, though? It's kind of like the certain aspects, like the anti-gay with Christianity, because you've got some Christians that are like, let them live.
For the hardliners, you know?
Yeah. So just like with any religion, you have the spectrums that are, we are totally old school, you know, everything by the book. And then you've got the newer people that kind of are, okay, well, that doesn't really apply to today. So this is how we feel on it. So... You may not even be doing anything that you think you're doing. By that right, you could assume that terrorist-type people who have that attitude may still believe that. But either way, that's such a... That should be the last thing you're worrying about with terrorism is, like, we're going to make sure they don't go, you know, to the place they think they're going. And then by that right, if you are Christian or whatever, you don't even believe that that's true. So there's just... All that's really wrong, and again, I need to clarify that I'm not defending this being like, well, you should only do it if they are, you know, a terrorist. This is just a ridiculous idea that they are just so hell-bent on. It's a dumb thing. I'm sorry. You're going to, like, fucking... That's what you're worried about is coating bullets in pork versus actual safety. Like,
In a strange way, it just shows... The religious zealotry, not of the Muslims, but of this gun nut organization that hates them so much, doesn't it?
And you know there's going to be innocents shot just because it happens all the time. All right, you know, I'm going to coat a bullet and come and shoot you so you've got man seed inside you so you won't go to heaven because you're not supposed to have man seed inside you.
Now you guys see the thought process that goes into Jillian and I arguing.
And I swear to God, if I get letters being like, well, technically that's not true, because I know it was a joke, you guys. Dear What the Fuck, actually.
I've yeah. gotten a few of, I actually have gotten a few of those, Jillian.
Oh my. All right, that was the dumbest thing. We've got lots of topics to talk about, so let's move on. Lots of topics, but lots of things to say on our topics.
All right, now the next one, Jillian and I are on opposite sides of this. Basically what happened is in Calgary, Canada, and see, I didn't even know, like, for Twitter you had a maximum amount of tweets. I mean, since I don't Twitter, I don't even know maximum...
Don't tweet.
Whatever.
Twitter's the device. Tweeting is the action.
Whatever. I don't know how many you are allowed, and I'm assuming a 24-hour period.
Yeah, I went ahead and looked it up because I wasn't sure either, because when we got the story, I was like, oh, what is it? And it is 1,000. You know, I'll sit there and I will tweet commentary movies. Like, I do quite a few tweets in a day, but obviously not 1,000. So, yeah, that's your answer.
But basically what happened is in Calgary, Canada, they're having, over this last week, they had a massive flash floods. They had a rash of flash floods, and they were using their Twitter account to get updates out to what areas have been hit, where the military is helping evacuate people, newly stricken areas, general safety tips for the evacuated areas, where evacuees can go, or even for, like, you know, if you know somebody in this area where you can maybe contact them. Things like that. And Twitter shut them down when they exceeded. First of all, I think 1,000 is a lot, so they may have been overdoing it a bit, but that doesn't change the fact that this was arguable life and death. And yes, a flash flood can cause death, so arguable life and death, or if nothing else, emergency situation.
Well, and with Twitter, you can only tweet 140 characters, including spaces, whatever. So I'm sure a lot of the information was maybe 3 or 4 tweets long. Twitter, they went ahead and notified them, and within 2 hours, they unlocked the account, which with everything going on in Twitter, you know, I think that's pretty good. Although people were like, well, 2 hours, that's a lot of information. Here's the thing.
Sorry. In a breaking news situation, I worked in a newsroom for a decade. In a breaking news situation, 2 hours can mean a lot,
right?
If it's a life or death situation.
Right, but here's the thing. Nobody notified Twitter ahead of time. This is a social media thing. It's not like they're checking the news and being like, oh, God, this is an account. There's billions, you know, of people that use Twitter. It's insane. Here's the thing. If you've got a situation where it's an emergency, you know, make a site. It takes, you know, a couple minutes to make a blog, you know, with breaking news and everything. You can't depend upon a social media site to get your information out, or do like a Facebook thing where I don't believe, you know, on a personal thing, a number of posts you can make and then people can check that page. But there's a lot of times where Twitter gets overloaded. It'll be down for times. I mean, you cannot depend on a third party social media site to get out all of your information. It's not made for that. And the reason they have a cap on how many tweets you can is because there's a shit ton of spammers out there. So, you know, if you don't have a cap, these people could send out millions of tweets a day, and they try and go against that. Now, I'm not saying that, oh, well, they shouldn't post anything on Twitter. But the thing is, you know, that should have been something where it was like, all right, we need to get this information out. I guess they never thought that there was a maximum. But I'm saying props to Twitter for getting it taken care of as soon as possible, because it's not something, it's not the people of Twitter be like, okay, what national emergencies are going out? What emergency accounts do we have? I mean, that's impossible. So unless they're notified that they're doing this, and also, I mean, you know, this has to be people actually following and just looking at the page of the Calgary account. Because when you are on Twitter, you know, people tweet multiple times in a row. And if you're following a good group of people, you're going to miss those tweets. So, and again, in an emergency situation, that's not exactly on people's minds. So they figure, hey, we have a Twitter account, we'll go ahead and post it here. You know, you shouldn't depend upon a third party social media site to get your information out there. There's lots of other ways to get information out there that would be more convenient versus having to keep it down to 140 characters. Plus, you're wasting time dependent upon, well, crap, how can we, you know, make this fit? So you're posting lots and lots of sentences where honestly, Twitter goes down, Facebook will go down at times. So Facebook isn't even, you know, the most realistic way to get information out there. There should have been some kind of website with breaking news. And yeah, go ahead and utilize Twitter, utilize Facebook. But the fact that people are hating, and it's not everybody. There's people that are saying, well, 2 hours, great, they got it back up. Yes, 2 hours is a long time in an emergency. But again, the people of Twitter, the moderators, or whoever's in charge of that, they can't sit there and be like, hey, there's an emergency going on and they have an account and they're going to update. Gotta let them know. And so the fact that they got it up within 2 hours, you know, it's not like they sat there and were like, nope, sorry, 1,000 a day, we're not going to raise it, you know. So I don't think this is something that's necessarily Twitter's fault.
But see, here's the thing. Having worked in a newsroom for a decade, you said just go and build a website or, you know, an update site or something like that. But people don't know it's there. People are already subscribed or following Calgary Police Twitter. So that is the best way. Like, when obviously Twitter wasn't always around when I was working in the newsroom. Best and fastest way was what we called email alerts, where you would have, say, that there's a massive flooding, and we had a couple of flooding incidents where I work, and people would get email alerts sent directly to their phone or directly to their email that would constantly update them.
Right, but that's not a third-party media site. It's a social media site. It's not in case of emergency. And yes, go ahead and utilize that and get that information out. But you can also say, for further information, you know, check here. There's ways to look up and say, okay, well, where are the updates going? And I'm not saying don't utilize these medias. And you also have, you know, again, Facebook, where they can look at the page and you constantly update. It doesn't take long to make something like that. So within that 2 hours, I would think somebody would be like, well, crap, let's utilize something else versus not making any updates. You know, they should have had something. And I'm not blaming them, but I don't see blaming Twitter when they did what they could to get it up and going as soon as possible. But as a society, I think we depend upon social media too much when there are other ways to get information. You know, that shouldn't be like, oh my God, you know, Twitter. I mean, what if the fucking website went down? You know, Twitter goes down. It gets bogged. It gets busy. There's times you can't sign in for a couple hours. And you can't blame the website for that. Oh, we couldn't get our emergency information from your social media site. So I'm not saying that, okay, they did anything wrong, but it's the people that are depending upon the site. There's other ways to get your information, you know, but everybody is so like, oh my God, Facebook and Twitter, that's all we're going to go. And there's so much misinformation, you know, going around Facebook, and this is going into a different topic though, because people don't feel like looking up the information for themselves. What would you do if Twitter was down in that situation completely versus, oh my God, this account got locked? Where would you go? You know, Google it, and somebody who's in charge of getting the information out there, you know, hurry up and do something on Facebook and be like, hey guys, you can go here. They had an associate actually take over the tweets for this emergency situation. So, you know, there was a secondary thing, but in a situation like that, try a different way as soon as possible to get the information out there. Now, this isn't, again, I need to reiterate, because I get flack for some of the stuff that I say. I'm not saying, you know, oh, well, this company did something wrong. But I don't think Twitter should be blamed for having a cap. And then as soon as they were notified about the situation, they got it up. If Twitter had been like, sorry, nope, 1,000 day a cap, then yeah, fuck you, Twitter. But the fact that people are depending upon a social media site where your characters, I mean, it's not even meant for breaking news. You know, it's 140 characters per tweet. Surely there was some way better to get the information out of there, and they could have been tweeting some updates and been like, hey, go here for breaking news.
But
Twitter
but
is not used
that
for something for
care.
Mass information. Well, if they don't care, then they shouldn't be bitching about not being able to get their information on Twitter.
Because
if somebody says, hold on, no. Exactly. So stop blaming Twitter. You're sitting here blaming Twitter, saying that's bullshit when information could have gotten out to them in a different way. The issue is not the cap here, okay? Twitter is social media.
So
it's not
Jillian
meant
yells
for breaking
Josh
news.
Show.
It is. I'm sorry. You are taking
I believe there should be. I believe there should be situational immunity. That there should be
is.
Situations
they
where...
back up. That was the situation, but it's not...
2 hours is a long time in a civil emergency. This shouldn't have taken more than 20 minutes to fix.
For all you know, who the hell knows how they fucking fix this shit with caps, though? You don't know the programming that goes behind. You don't know when they got the request. You know, there's issues.
You would think
all the time
there was. You would think there would be something, since 1,000 is a lot for a cap. So I'm not bitching at Twitter for that. But there should be maybe an alarm that goes off that maybe, hey, this account reached 1,000. Maybe we should look at it and go,
you know
what? They're actually doing something important.
Scammers?
Unlock it.
Do you know how many accounts are out there and how many spammers?
No, since I don't Twitter.
So they would be getting notifications of all these spammers, and you've got all of this, you know, monitoring. So unless the person or company or whatever the account is notifies them, they have to go through, and you get notifications all the time because of just various issues. You know, there's a help thing. So probably by the time they got to it, but the people monitoring this social media site, there's no way they can go and be like, okay, well, let's look up what emergencies are going on, and then let's look up what accounts pertain to that emergency. There's no way to monitor that. My thing is, you are taking a limited social media site that's just like, oh, hey, guys, this is going on, and, you know, I did this today, and, you know, I'm a famous person, Alec Baldwin or whatever, and these are the little quips that I say. And it's meant to be a light thing, not a breaking news site. Okay, so in a situation like that, make something real quick. You can do like the free blogs real quick. You could have done a Facebook, be like, go here for information, and then do updates that way. To get breaking news out, being stuck to 140 characters, really? You know, and again, you've got to have people, and again, you've got to have followers specifically looking at that account's tweets, because you've got everybody you follow. There's people that follow over 1,000 people on Twitter, you know, because they just follow all their stuff and it goes in the news feed. So if you've got a situation where I'm specifically looking at this account for updates, you know, you can do that anywhere. It's ridiculous that they would use Twitter over Facebook. And I don't have any information on whether they did have a Facebook or whatever. But the point is, it was all of this hubbub of, oh, crap, we got shut down on Twitter. And it's like, whatever was going on behind the scenes, Twitter did what they could and got it back up. It's not like Twitter was being a dick and saying, nope, that's our cap.
But Jillian, part of the problem is the spoiled nature of the people that they were trying to get the news to. They're not going to listen to the radio station when one of the local DJs breaks in with this news over the evacuations. They don't listen to the radio. They don't watch on TV. They don't check Facebook. More people Twitter than anything else. So I can see it from the Calgary police's point of view that this will get, if we use Twitter, it will get this information out to the maximum number of people in the shortest period of time. I see that. And then to all of a sudden have them shut down for 2 hours because they released because they hit some ridiculous cap, that could endanger people's lives. I see that they wanted the maximum coverage that they could get. What that meant was fucking Twitter.
But again, you shouldn't blame Twitter for that versus the people that are unwilling to go to anything but Twitter. You know, use the social media website as a, hey, look for updates here, or make some update. You know, you should not be dependent upon a social media site as the only way to get your information out there. The point is, they worked to get it back up. As an emergency situation, you have to have some other way to get the information to the people and not depend upon a limited social media site.
And see, sometimes that's not possible. Look at the Arab Spring when that happened and the Egyptian riots a few years ago. The internet was down, for lack of a better way to put it. The only thing that worked, the only way any information escaped the Egypt riots and the coup in Egypt was Twitter. That was the only way journalists could get information out. Otherwise, everything else, Facebook was shut down, email was shut down, the entire country was in upheaval. I don't know how differently Twitter works, but tweeting was the only way information got out. That could have been the situation for these Calgary floods. We'll be back after the break.
I'm Hey, motherfuckers, you are listening to the Happy-Go-Lucky Hour with Hard D. Fisher and motherfucking Josh Hadley in the break of What the Fuck. Josh!
What?
Oh, I'm having a good fucking day, man. I'm having a good fucking day. I don't know if I told you. I set up new accounts. I've set up new PayPal stuff. In about a week or two, we'll be ready to start rolling out t-shirts, man.
And see, we've got a lot of people that are interested in those. You don't know how many emails I get a week of people asking, do you have a t-shirt for X show? Do you have a t-shirt for this show? Do you have a t-shirt? I want a t-shirt.
Well, we're going to do it. We're going to be getting the American Horrors Asshole Remover t-shirts are going to be done. We're going to be doing the What the Fuck shirts. We're going to be doing the Radio Drone, Lost in the Static. We're going to get it all together thanks to our web mistress, Cassandra.
She's pretty wicked, isn't she?
Yeah, she's doing a good job. I'm pretty happy with her right now. So, but we're just getting our feet wet. We're just in the foreplay stage. We'll find out what happens when I really put her to work.
but here's the thing. Once we do start selling t-shirts and that, there are certain publications that aren't going to cover this, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but so what? You know, fuck them. Their audience is dying off. Who cares if they're ignoring us and blacklisting us? I mean, I've dealt with that before. Dude, I broke the Wikipedia blacklist.
Yeah, but see, okay, this is the thing, though, Hart. People don't realize that there are these blacklists. And you got to remember, the magazines and their editors, they'll tell you there are no blacklists. I can guarantee you there are blacklists.
Yeah, for
and
the
I'm
listeners
on them.
For the listeners at home who don't know what a blacklist is, it's literally a list. Like when I worked at a bar, when I worked at Mabel's, right up at the front door, we had a list, a blacklist of people that were not allowed in the bar. Well, for whatever reason, they were banned from the bar. And there are lists like this all over publishing. And especially, it doesn't even, sometimes it's not even about whether they like you or not. Sometimes it's about, well, this one gets more advertising money from Sony, so instead of rocking the boat, they don't want to give any coverage to something that Sony's pissed off about. And that's a very common practice. It's called, you know, the tail wagging the dog.
Mine is because I won't play by the rules. Because I recently got into a very public career suicide move. I recently called out the editors of Fangoria, RumOrg, and Horror Hound magazines for their little blacklists of trying to get into their magazines. Because what people don't realize is it's hard to get a job at one of these magazines. Okay, you know how when you work at a company for 20 years and you're always eyeing up that number one parking spot? What's the only way you're really going to get it? When the guy in front of you dies, right?
Yeah, especially in a horror magazine, because it's really a labor of love. You know, people get involved with that. No one thinks they're going to get insanely wealthy from doing a horror mag, but they get all pompous and fool themselves as soon as they start giving themselves those silly fucking nicknames. You know what? I'm Hart D. Fisher. That's who I am. I was born with that name. I don't have any other names. When I worked in the adult film business, yeah, I had some fake names then. But now, no, not at all. And that's a little different. This blacklist thing is nothing new, man. I mean, I've dealt with it throughout most of my life. What do you mean who's blacklisted you?
Fangoria, RumOrg, and Horror Hound. Basically, I will never be working for those magazines because I am persona non grata there now.
So you're talking about being blacklisted as a writer.
Yes. Well, probably professionally,
like your,
too.
They probably just don't like your writing.
No. See, it's not that. It's I attacked the very sensibilities. Chris Alexander, the editor of Fangoria, he just could not go on enough about how that Evil Dead piece of shit remake was the greatest, most shockingly gruesome movie he's ever seen. Funny how they had a cover story on it, exclusive photos, a ton of advertising on their website, a complete website takeover. Gee, I wonder why he sold out like that. I called him on it, and so he calls me an asshole and tells me this is not how you handle this kind of thing. It's even like the cover of the new RumOrg has a cover story on an independent film, and they call it one of the most shocking films out there. It's totally original. It's going to change how filmmaking's done. You know who wrote the article? The film's director. I call him out on this shit, And they're like, well, then we're not taking your phone calls anymore. You're telling the stories we don't want you to tell. And you know what? After I went on my little rant about that, a bunch of the people publicly were like, dude, you just committed career suicide. You know, they're going to tell. Because they're going to tell all the other magazines I try to work for, this guy's dangerous. Talks in front of your face, and he doesn't keep secrets. But you know what the real funny part was, Hart? A lot of people I know in the professional writing field emailed me quietly, off the record, and said, thank you for finally standing up to them and telling the stories. I'd do it, but I can't. I still need to work for them. So I just committed career suicide, not being willing to put up with their shit anymore.
Dude. You didn't commit career suicide. They don't have that kind of power. Fango can't blacklist you from getting a writing job from somebody else. And neither can Room Org. They're on their way out, man. Their sales are way, way, way down. And no one takes the brand serious anymore. You know, Fango's been a dead brand for a long time. And I don't believe in this revitalization people have tried to sell me because I don't see it. The magazines I looked at and read, I didn't see it. And I haven't enjoyed, I'll tell you straight, I have not enjoyed Rue Morgan since Jovanka left. Once she left to go have her baby and get her horror career started, I thought Rue Morgan started to really, really suck cock. And it shows in the sales, man. The sales don't lie. The sales on both their magazines are sucking a dick. The amount of hits they get on the web are sucking a dick because everybody knows that they're sellout brands now, and people understand that. The consumer is so much more savvy now. For me, okay, I've been belittled, and people have talked shit about me for years. I've been lied about all over the fucking world by major news outlets. I outlasted it all. I knew I would outlast it. I knew I would outlast the blacklist on Wikipedia. Because I was banned from Wikipedia for many, many years. I even bought up the domain names of who is Wikipedia afraid of. But then, you know, we actually got to meet some people who saw what was going on within the industry of you know, some different journalists. And they all tried to fix the situation. It really bothered them. And they did. They did. So I'm really happy about that. And that's my feeling about it is they're just threatening you. They're just like, it's terrorists. They're terrorizing you. Ooh, you shouldn't have done that, Josh. It's career suicide, Junior. Like they've got so much fucking clout. For one, Room Org's in goddamn Canada. Who the fuck do they know in a magazine publishing here? You get me?
You know what the funny thing is? The editor of Fangoria is in Canada, too.
Really?
Yeah, he edits the magazine from Canada.
So Fango is sucking Room Org's dick?
Pretty much. I mean, the only one that... I really do like Horror Hound as a magazine. I really do. And Nathan,
I don't know those guys at all. I don't know anything about the magazine. I think I've seen one issue. I honestly haven't heard anything bad about Horror Hound.
Horror Hound's a really good magazine. And while I was committing career suicide, Nathan Hanneman, the editor of Horror Hound, was actually the one guy that was like, okay, you're being kind of a dick, but if that's the way you want to play it, fine. And he was really nice about it. And he and I PM'd back and forth a little bit. And he was cool with it. He was kind of like, I understand the frustration you got, and you just, you know, went a little crazy. It's like, I like Horror Hound. I thought Nathan Hanneman was he handled it like a man.
Have you ever been to one of their conventions?
No, I cannot afford any of that. I keep trying to get invited as a guest, but it hasn't happened.
Yeah, why don't you go and just go cover it for one of your events and get in as the press?
I don't have the money.
Oh, you mean just to travel there?
Yeah, I do not have the money for the hotel, gotcha. For the travel. That's not an option for me. Unless you're going to pick it up and I do it for American Horrors.
Yeah, well, we're just starting to book advertising. You know, I've got a couple direct marketing deals for American Horrors for some pretty cool fucking products, man. I'm going to be bringing some cool stuff to the public. Not just Hydra Blue, which I'm doing already through the radio, but we're going to be bringing in some very, very cool MMA gear that is designed, that are new designs. And it's Gene LaBelle gear. We're going to be doing some other work with some other MMA people. And I'm pretty happy about it. And we're talking to some people about bringing some advertising here to the radio show so that Josh can afford to go to some of these conventions.
Well, we brought up American Horrors. Tell people where they can find it.
That's pretty easy, guys. You can go to www.filmon.com. That's F-I-L-M-O-N. And it's free. It's free worldwide. We're in the horror section. You're going to want to look up American Horrors. And it's a 24-hour uncut horror channel that I'm in charge of. That's my channel. We're worldwide. And, dude, we're kicking ass. Our ratings are going up every fucking month. Beginning of the year, we were in the top 48 out of these 500 channels. Now we're in the top 40.
And it's just going to keep getting bigger. Same with these shows. I was happy when I started these shows, Hart. 500 listeners. Now I'm getting 100,000 listeners a week on the low end.
And you know what? For the people that listen to What the Fuck on a regular basis, a lot of guys don't know. The Heart Attack has its own show now. I'm still going to do this with Josh because I want to curse even more than I do normally on Heart Attack. I have a one-hour show. It is on before What the Fuck, and we're on iTunes now. And last week we found out Heart Attack's ratings tripled in one fucking week. So go to find us on iTunes. You can find us and subscribe to us at 1201beyond.com because Josh's website is just kicking ass. I've recently started revamping the AmericanHorrors.com website. So there's just so much cool shit going down, man. There's just a lot. And as far as like being blacklisted as a writer, I'll tell you straight up, Josh, there is no way that those particular people could blacklist you. They can't. There are people in the, you know, during the Hearst era, it was easier to blacklist a writer. But there's so many outlets, you know, I don't think they can keep you from getting work elsewhere.
See, the thing is, I just want to write for these magazines. I like writing for them. I just will not play their bullshit little backyard games. And that's what I'm sick of. I'm sick of the games. Well, if you don't want me to write for you, just say that. You've been in the industry long enough, both publishing and video and movies. You know We'll Get Back to You is just death. That's their way of pretending to not tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
It's insulting when they, We'll Get Back to You. 3 years later, I've still got places that have not gotten back to me.
Well, you got to take that as the no then. I mean, it's a tough business. And you got to have a thick skin and a thick head and try to always be sharpening your skills, always be sharpening your toolbox and constantly going forward. And, you know, I understand your frustration. There's a lot of films that I really, really want to air on American Horrors and show to an audience. And, you know, the filmmakers want crazy amounts of money or they want to only have their movie on VHS or whatever their reason is. Maybe they're just comfortable being indie festival darlings. And I've had to learn, well, you know, if that's what they want, I got to let it go and I got to focus on what I want and where I'm going. And if they're not interested in having a party with me and having a good time, that's okay. I'll go find somebody else to work with and have a good time with. I mean, that's how I ended up doing this radio station show with you on jackaloperadio.com.
And I just want to say, before Jillian and I come back after the break, Rue Morgan Fangoria, go fuck yourselves.
We don't care what you say.
All right, I'm sure all of you have heard by this point about Taylor Chapman, the 27-year-old Broward County nutbag who went on that racist rant at Dunkin' Donuts all because she didn't get a receipt.
For those... if they don't have Facebook or Twitter, they might not have heard if they don't.
Listen, you. I like your witch cackle there, too. But basically what happened is Chapman did not get a receipt the day before, so she went into the Dunkin' Donuts, used her iPhone to record the whole thing. Both the people behind the counter were of Middle Eastern descent. I don't know.
Is she going to return the donuts? Like, why are you bitching about not getting a receipt? Unless maybe it's like tax deductible or some shit. But
supposedly Dunkin' Donuts has a policy that if they don't give you a receipt, then your food is free. She didn't get a receipt.
So they still have the same day. So they still have the receipt on file.
She went on this rant and she was calling them little fucking sand niggers and how what she's doing is, quote, payback for the World Trade Center. And she's, quote, because I'm going to nuke your whole fucking planet from Mars. This chick is nuts, okay?
Well, and they just work there. It's not like they own the fucking Dunkin' Donuts. And I'm sorry, policies like that, you have to do it the same day. Because if you say, hey, I didn't get my receipt, they still have the receipts and sales on file. You can't come in the next day or whenever later and be like, oh, yeah, you didn't give me a receipt yesterday, because anybody could do that. You have to do that the same day.
I agree with that. Both employees, now keep in mind, Middle Eastern descent, and she's calling them sand niggers, okay? So she's trying to get a rise out of them. She's trying to incite them into...
Well, and the fact that she's recording. You don't just start recording something when you're bitching about it unless you want to get, you know, something worthwhile on tape.
Oh, she outright says she's going to put this on YouTube and expose them for what they are.
Oh, no! Dunkin' Donuts is following policy, and I'm bitching and making a fool of myself. You guys are going to get it.
She made a big fool of herself. The two Dunkin' Donuts employees that are seen on camera could not have been more polite to her.
Oh, yeah.
They did not take any of her bait. They were constantly polite, calling her ma'am and whatnot. Even when at one point she saw one of them and was following her, and she just kept calling her a sand nigger and just kept following her, and they didn't take the bait. They didn't bite. Now, of course, when she did put this up on YouTube, as she promised to, it went viral.
But even
insanely
that,
so.
Anything, why would you do that? And I want to interject real quick. When I worked retail, I did customer service, which is the worst part of retail because you get all the bitchy people. I had crazy people like that to where managers called the cops and I never went off. And I'm just like, you know, sir, I'm sorry. That's our policy. We can't take something back that you've had for a year. Or you had people that were bitching around Christmas time being like, I just have to return something. And it's just like, this is customer service. Everybody is in line to return something. And I'm just like, always, you know, you just always be empathetic. There's no reason to go off on people like that. It's like they can't. You're in a store full of, you know, your coworkers and managers. So unless they're about to pull a gun out or something, but usually if you're at a good place, the manager or somebody else will call the cops when they're getting really horrible. Like I was threatened and everything like that. And I mean, I'll say they're not even in business anymore. It's at Circuit City. It's not like I was at some kind of, you know, whatever place. Like you get fucking crazies.
Well, see, the thing with Chapman is, this really blew up in her face bad, because at one point she's trying to get another customer to come in on her side, and he's just kind of like, just leave me the fuck out of this,
I'd
lady.
Be like, bitch, you crazy.
Yeah, just like, leave me the hell out of this. She is a fucking spokesperson for many Florida businesses. She's appeared in numerous commercials. She's, of course, kind of lost that job at this point. But here's the thing. This is actually going to go into what Jillian and I are actually going to talk about. So, of course, after this went viral, now I don't know what company, what channel, whatnot, she is, quote, in talks with a reality show about her. And that just blew my fucking mind.
Here's the thing, because anything that goes viral, you've got media going, wow, there's something there. This bitch is crazy, and people like watching it. And honestly, there's good, so to speak, maybe you won't think so, there's good reality shows out there and bad reality shows out there. You've got quote-unquote bad ones. Like with the bad ones, it's kind of like, these are horrible human beings, and it's like a train wreck, kind of like, you know, you're watching from a safe distance, they can't go off on you. the good ones I speak of, I like watching the competition shows where there's actually a prize. You know, like, yeah, you'll still get some crazy people on there, but they're working towards something. Like, I love Project Runway, things, anything, you know, creative, the next great artist. I like the cooking ones. And so they're actually doing something, not just sitting around
Didn't
looking
at
confessionals.
Didn't you tell me you're a huge Gordon Ramsay fan?
I am, and I'm sure I'll get some flack for that, but we'll get into Amy's Bakery in a minute here. So you've got things like Honey Boo Boo. I don't think anybody watches Honey Boo Boo being like, those are good people, I'm rooting for them. It's because it's a train wreck. Kind of things where, like, the Jersey Shore, where people love it because of just whatever, and then you've got people that like it because they hate the people on there. So there's different audiences, but anything that goes viral like that and that people are talking about, you know, you've got producers that are like, wow, this is something. People are really into watching these people make fools of themselves.
And see, I think that's the problem, because that's encouraging their behavior.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, I'm one of those people that is like, what is going on with this? I love Kitchen Nightmares.
I don't think you should reward people for being fucking assholes.
Okay, it's already there.
Then the other big one that came out right around the same time as Chapman, and that was Amy's Baking Company, the now infamous Kitchen Nightmares episode. My wife and I don't watch this show.
We
watched this episode because we could not escape hearing about it. And it's like, all right,
it's
I got to see
this. What the fuck is going on with this? Exactly what I, you know, said earlier. But okay, before we get into it, here's the thing with Kitchen Nightmares. You've got situations and people hate on Gordon Ramsay, but it's like, if you see other things of him, it's kind of like he's not always a yelling crazy person. They do that on Hell's Kitchen because it's one of those, I have a short amount of time that I'm giving someone a multi-million-dollar business, you better be able to fucking work under pressure type thing. Of course, things within reality TV is always played up. Kitchen Nightmares, and he also did the hotel one. I can't remember what it is. I mean, you've got situations where the owners are just completely chill. And, you know, they see what he's saying and he's respectful to them. And it's when somebody goes crazy or doesn't realize what they're doing. You've got managers versus the owners that think it's okay to sell food with mold and that's just been sitting there and cross contamination. So, yeah, as somebody in the cooking industry, even as a customer, that's going to make you fucking mad. And when they sit there and argue and they're like, well, why are you on this? Like, we hate you. You're stupid. It's like, you know, they're trying to save your business. Clearly, you're not doing things right. So that's when he kind of goes off, because you've got the stubborn people that are selling food that can basically kill somebody. And it's insulting. And he can't believe how stubborn they are. And here's the thing with Amy's Baking Company. It's crazy because of the good quality of the food, the immaculate freezer and kitchen. Because on pretty much any other episode, it's rank, it's disgusting, the food can seriously kill somebody. So you have this business that's pristine, that it's basically the crazy ass owner that is tanking it. And so, you know, the thing with reality shows where it's like, oh, hey, help my business. And then they're just so close to it. And it's like, why did you ask him? Clearly, he's there to make changes because your business sucks. And you're going to sit there and argue with him. And this lady was certifiably crazy, like with the eyes twitching and just the looks. And then
talking to cats.
Yeah, I talk to cats. Mew, 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 mew. I can speak cat. Like, seriously, not joking. She was not joking when she did this. And then the owners are stealing the tips from the waiters. And
which
the
is illegal.
Right. Being like, oh, well, you know, they get paid. And yeah, it was just ridiculous. And so Ramsay, like, actually specifically tipped the waitress. He's like, that's for you to keep.
And that is biting them in the ass, too. Just a quick update. They are being looked at by the IRS because that violates U.S. law. You cannot do that. So they are in a lot of financial trouble for the keeping the tips thing.
One more thing, too. Like, they're not the only crazy people on that show. There's been quite a few. They're probably the craziest. But there's
are there more crazies than normals? Normal,
oh my God,
usually?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. I mean, you'll have situations where the owner is just sweet. They entrust their friend manager or their son manager or whatever, who doesn't give a shit about the business and is writing them. And so basically the owner's like, well, no, they say everything's fine and they don't take it upon themselves to check the kitchen, to check the food, because you've got the other person being like, oh, it's great. You've got the delusional people who are like, I think our food's great. And it's clearly disgusting. And even after he shows the kitchen, they don't see anything wrong with it. the cross contamination. You've got the cooked food sitting with the raw food that's bleeding and old. And they're like, well, I mean, it's not like anybody is getting sick.
Let's move on to the aspect of, like, you brought up Amy's Baking Company, that they thought they were doing nothing wrong, but they called Gordon Ramsay anyway, right?
Yeah.
Having seen that episode myself, Jillian, what it looked like to me was them saying, we know we're right. Everyone who doesn't like our food is wrong. Now, if you, Gordon Ramsay, world famous chef, tell them how awesome we are, that will validate us. They wanted validation, and they were actually insulted when they found out their food is shit, your service is shit, your prices are shit, and you're fucking nuts.
Oh, there were people using like the cheaper lobsters, like the Canadian lobsters, and charging like the Maine, and basically they use the Canadian lobsters and things like pasta. Got like canned crab that they were passing off as real crab. You've got situations where I don't understand why anybody even goes. And obviously when you go to a show like this, you're like, oh, Gordon Ramsay's in town, and you go, and it's like, of course the food's going to be shit unless you're going on relaunch night.
I was going to say on the first day at least.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you make sure that shit is cooked. You've got situations of like the owners being like, you know, they come back and they're like, oh, well, they said this. Be like, tell them to go fuck themselves. It's like, well, they want to speak to you. It's like, oh, really? Why'd you order it? Well, you took a bite out of it. What's wrong with it? And he's like, well, you can go somewhere else. And it's like, well,
I saw in the Amy's Baking Company one, the guy said, you clearly don't know good food. Get out of my restaurant.
Yeah. And then you got situations where it's like old oysters, not clean. And they're like, it tastes like sandy. I don't know what's up. He's like, well, of course it's sandy. It lives in the ocean. It's supposed to be a little grainy. And it's like, no, it's not supposed to have sand in it, dude. You got to clean them.
Clean it before you cook it. But
yeah, but just that kind of like fact, just like arguing against their food, arguing with the customer, cussing their customers out. You know, so you've got situations like that, and they don't think they're doing anything wrong.
But here's the big question, Jillian. Now, let's assume for the sake of what we're about to say that nothing is staged or set up or even hoped for by the producers, okay? Let's say it's actual reality, just for the sake of argument, okay?
Well, there's always stuff that's changed, but yeah,
right.
I see where you're going.
But just for the sake of argument, go with me on this. Do you think that say, like the Amy's Baking Company episode, do you think that they would yell at the customers like that when cameras weren't rolling, or were they playing it up for the cameras? Or on the opposite side, maybe being a little less crazy than they normally would be. Like maybe they
normally be crazier. Yeah, no, it's less crazy because they talk to the servers. They will pull customers off the street. Like they'll be like, hey, have you eaten here? What were your thoughts? Like these people, they're there to save their business. So they're not going to amp up their crazy, but they will amp it down. They show like how they act in front of Ramsay versus out, you know, and he'll talk to the servers and be like, oh yeah, you know, all this goes on. You've got a situation where he found just like the kitchen full of roaches. There's been like dead mice in the places. They're like, you planted that there. And it's like, they show him like walking in and like picking it up. And they are thinking that he's planting things there. And the one with like all the roaches was probably the most disgusting. And they were still going to serve the food. Be like, well, I don't think that there's, you know, anything wrong. We're not serving ones with bugs on it. And it's like, are you kidding me? So these people are deluded. They actually want their business saved. And they do revisited every once in a while because they do the short recap after the show. And they're like, you know, in the weeks to follow, blah, 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 doing
like,
well.
Like
or in
six,
the weeks
six
to follow,
months,
they
six
close.
Months later, such
yeah,
and
so
such
he'll come back. Right. And they do that at the end of that show. But then he'll also have revisited episodes where he revisits a handful of restaurants from the past. And, you know, they do a quick recap of what was going on. And some of them, it's like, okay, great, things changed. Other ones are like, oh, he reverted back to everything. Or, you know, they're bankrupt, that the restaurant doesn't exist anymore. And he'll, like, call up an old employee, be like, so what happened? So not every place that he fixes and that seems like, oh, okay, they're going to be okay. Like, they're just like, whatever, we're changing our menu back and we're doing this back. So it's kind of a handful. So, I mean, this is something where he's actually saving some restaurants and doing good. And then you've got the people that are just stuck in their ways.
Why do we reward the insane? Why do people even want to go on a reality show? I mean, obviously, some people know this about me, some don't. I was going to be on a reality show, some behind-the-scenes shenanigans. In all honesty, and I know how egotistical this is going to sound, I think they knew I was on to what they planned for me, and I was ready for it, so that's why they didn't want me. Basically, what happened was I was going to be on a show about large collections, you know, almost an obsessed type collector. Not like a hoarder's, but like some of the other people, you know, like I've got 1 million comic books or something. Mine was about my VHS and Laserdisc collection. I had to go get evaluated by a psychologist to you know, see if I could handle being on TV and all this. And we had everything set up. And there were a couple of sticking points in the contract that I would not adhere to. There were a couple of things worded in a certain way that I kept like, I'm not comfortable with this. I want this changed. And I would talk to their lawyers.
What?
For example, that they would be able to own anything that happened on the show. Fair enough. But one of the things they wanted me to do was do some of these type shows, like a What the Fuck episode or a Radiodrome. And I'm like, well, according to the way the contract's written, then the show that I would record while you're recording me, you would own. And they're like, yes, technically we would. And I'm like, I'm not comfortable with that. I was not comfortable with them having access to every aspect of my life.
Not only that, I would have to sign off on that, wouldn't I? Because I'm
technically
on it.
Yes. Technically, yes. And, you know, I talked over with Scott, you know, about Lost and Static and stuff, and none of us were comfortable with that.
Well, not only that, but they edit shit. On some of the stuff, it's like, you can tell, and like, you know, they've had interviews, they're like, well, they edit it to make me look, like on the Joe Schmo show, things like that, they're like, they edited around it to make me look a little nicer than I am. So that being said, especially the type of topics we talk about, Lord knows how they would have edited that shit together. It depends on the company. But I think some of these reality shows, you've got the things versus like, oh, sweet, because they get paid depending on the show. Be like, hey, we're going to follow you around your life. You've got other shows like Project Runway, Kitchen Nightmares, things like that, where there's either a prize or someone's genuinely helping you out. I mean, look at Trading Spaces. They went on there and be like, sweet, we get home remodels of this much money for only this much money. So with Kitchen Nightmares, I mean, he does overnight remodeling, replaces equipment with top of the line. So they're getting a lot out of it.
They're getting free shit.
Exactly. So it's one of those situations. Plus, their business is tanking. Like, these people are legitimately
desperate.
In trouble. So you've got a show like this that will come and help you out. And the catch-22 is like, hey, we're going to record everything. And you might end up looking like an asshole. But honestly, if you weren't acting like that, there's no way they could make you look like that, other than if you say something and they splice it in weirdly where it's like, I hate all, like, whatever type race
but,
or whatever.
But see, here's the thing, though, Jillian. There were other things I wasn't comfortable with either. They wanted access to areas of my life that there was no need for. This was about my VHS collection, my Laserdisc collection, me being a huge movie fan. Why did they need access to my bedroom? They wanted access to have shots of me sleeping, access to my bedroom. They wanted to see like how my wife and I interacted with one another, how my son and I interacted.
Because it's a
none
show
of that
about
is
you.
Relevant.
It's
so
a show
I'm like,
about you, though. It's not just your collection. It's not like they're looking at like, oh, hey, this is all his stuff. That would be like a 5-minute show. The show but is about you. That's what they
right.
do. They invade your personal life.
There was a couple other things that tipped me off to what they were going to do. And having seen like Collection Intervention on Sci-Fi Channel, I've seen what they do on that show. And I know this show would try something similar. And what it basically was, there was some wording in the contract. And I'm looking it over and I'm like, okay. It basically came down to that they would have the right to bring in a psychologist to analyze me on the show. And having seen the Sci-Fi Channel show, Collection Intervention, the whole thing of that was, you are crazy for collecting all these things. Normal people don't have a million comic books. Be normal. Watch sports. Stop being weird. I knew they were going to bring in a psychologist to try and make me look crazy. So I actually had a whole bunch of answers prepared that would one up this psychologist. Because
yeah.
I even asked him at what point, I said, and where could, you know, because they're going to be flying in. I'm like, is the psychologist you're going to bring in going to be a local or coming in from like LA or whatnot? They're like, huh? And I'm like, well, in the contract, it says this. And I think I tipped them off that I wouldn't be a good guest because I was prepared for them.
A lot of the people are just like, sweet, I'm on reality TV. And they sign. And then as the show goes on, it's like, this is in your contract. And then it's like, oh, crap. But here's the thing.
No, I read that bitch line. I read that bitch line by fucking line. I'm like, this I'm not comfortable with. This I'm not comfortable with. That's worded really vaguely. No, no, no.
Yeah, and the majority of people don't do that. They're like, sweet, I'm going to be on TV. Da-da-da-da-da, sign. They want to make it outlandish. They want to turn you into a character because people aren't going to watch a normal person and be like, oh yeah, this is how I got into it and I've collected this from blah, blah, blah. It's like the show is about you and the fact that you've got this crazy collection. So they have to turn you into a character that the people of today are going to want to watch. And people of today don't want to watch normal people. They want to watch people where they're like, oh my God, that dude's crazy or that dude's a horrible person. Actual reality of normal people or good people is relatively boring to the society that watches these shows.
And see, I was looking at it as, even though I rail against reality TV, I was looking at it as a promotional experience that I'll get my name out there, I'll get the shows out there, and depending on how they edited it, I might not look crazy. I just think reality TV has gone out of control because, first of all, it's not reality. I don't think anyone will debate that they... Okay, there are some... There are some people that think it's fucking real. All right, fair enough. But I don't think that there's... People are looking at this as the watershed moment where they should go, you know what, we need to stop and back off. People are looking at this and going, this was insane. Let's see what we can do next week. Like, okay, to use a quick analogy, do you remember the Morton Downey Jr. show from the late 80s? It was the quickest rise in talk TV in history. Still never even been beat. He was the prototype for what Springer and all of them would become in the 90s, okay?
Okay.
So what happened was every week he'd have to one-up himself. And they eventually got to the point where even doing, like, lesbian strippers who were abducted by aliens and are now Satanists was not getting them the ratings. So they kept going, what do we do next week? What do we do next week? And it just had to keep getting more insane. That's, I think, where reality TV is. And eventually, in Mort's case, he tried to go insane, faked a publicity stunt that literally blew up in his face, and he lost everything. That's what I think reality TV is. We should not be giving Chapman, we should not be giving Amy's Baking Company their own reality shows. These people can't be rewarded for being full of grand mal shitheadedness.
Yeah, everybody has their, you know, little spouts, and nobody's gonna, you know, it's not gonna last. It's whatever. I don't care. I'm not losing anything by them having a show. I don't really give a fuck. On reality TV, if you look at the credits, it'll say, you know, producers, writers, things like that, because they do. They splice things in. However, if you're not acting like a big dickhole jerk face, they're not going to be able to show you in that bad of a light other than maybe taking a few things out of context. So not, you know what I mean? Like, it's twisted more so on some shows than others.
So if anyone wants to give Jillian her own reality show, where can they contact her?
Nowhere. I'm not going on fucking reality TV. Actually, the only reality show I would go on would be The Next Great Artist. That's probably the only one I would go on, but I would need to get my shit straight because I haven't done anything that good in a while. But yeah, you guys can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, even though Josh is hating on Twitter, at The Mistress J. And I'm occasionally on thecinemasnob.com as well as geekjuicemedia.com.
You can find me at geekjuicemedia.com or 1201beyond.com is the home for all of the 1201 Beyond products. And you can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com.
Oh, and our Facebook page is facebook.com/talkwhat.
Have a good night, guys.
We're the basement, playing with our small butt.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.